You've got big dreams for your business. I know you do, because none of us start out in business shooting small, right? And I think one of the things that you guys want to do is you want more freedom. You want more purpose. You want more passion. You want to earn more money, of course. You want the flexibility to go out there and travel if you want to travel, or make the impacts you want to make, or help your family and friends live the life they want to live. The problem is most entrepreneurs, myself included, do it wrong the first time or even multiple times when starting companies. We do it to where we build a business or build a role that we're in that we actually despise. We grow to despise, where we don't want to wake up in the morning and do the work that we ourselves had created. And I can say from personal experience, this happened to me in my previous company. We had great products, great customers, great business partner, great team members. But the problem was, for almost a year, I literally did not want to get up in the morning and do the work that I had set out for myself. I didn't feel like there was purpose and passion. I didn't feel like there was or any real reason why we were going out there and earning more money or growing the company. And it was miserable. So we're going to be talking about that today on today's episode of the Carrot Cast with my guest, Sean Ogle of Location Rebel. I've known Sean for years and years and years, and he's one of the best dudes out there. And one of the reasons I brought him on this episode of the Carrot Cast is because he is one of the epitomes of the person who has created a business that is based around his lifestyle. So he can travel as much as you want to travel. So he can go out there and knock off those bucket list items, you know, very, very consistently now while he's young, rather than having to wait until he's older. Okay. And also, he's just really, really good at being crazy intentional with his business, you know, not growing more than he needs to grow just for the sake of growth, but growing a business that truly is built specifically to serve him and his life and what he's wanting to get, what he's wanting to accomplish in this life. Okay. So if you're wanting to do that, if you're wanting to grow a business that truly, truly serves you, that earns the income and the revenue to truly set you free, but is set up in a way to where you can work the amount of hours you want to work, to where you can grow the business you want to grow, so you can go out there and travel and have the flexibility you want to have, rather than being trapped in a business, this is the episode for you. Okay. So for all of you house flippers, wholesalers, whatever it is that you're doing, most of you, and this is going to be flat, tough love here. Most of you guys, if you don't make a shift in your business, are going to be miserable within the first 1, 2, 3 years of your business. Okay. Earning those first dollars is going to be fun and great and cool. But once you start to get into the grind of it, you're going to be asking yourself, why am I doing this? Why do I have to go out there and hustle for more deals? Why do I, what is the end game? Well, this episode of the Carrot Cast is going to help you define your end game more clearly and help you be crazy intentional with building that business. Okay. And if that's what you want, you're on the right episode. If you haven't listened to other episodes of the Carrot Cast yet, head over to carrotcast.com. And I think you'll enjoy a lot of other ones we have over there with great, great entrepreneurs, amazing mindset podcasts. And also, if you're looking to get more deals as a real estate investor, some amazing stuff over there if you haven't listened to them. But for now, I think this is the most important topic you can think about right now in this season of your life. Am I being intentional? Am I being as intentional as I need to be with this business so it can truly set me and my family free? Okay. Most of you guys, myself included in the past, cannot answer yes to that. Okay. So listen to this episode with Sean Ogle, my good friend and Location Rebel. Here we go. I'm really crazy excited about diving into Sean's story because it's a really, really unique and fun story. Sean and I have got to get to know each other the last several years, not as well as I'm wanting to, man. So we need to hang out and we need to actually get on the golf course.
I know. Together. Seriously.
Yeah, we do. But I'm excited to introduce you guys to Sean because the reason that a lot of us become entrepreneurs, you know, we become entrepreneurs for the lifestyle so you can have the freedom, so you don't have to work for the man. But what happens to a lot of us, I'm speaking from experience here, is we end up creating a business that traps us. And this happened to me in my previous company where we were making really good revenue. We had a great product, but being honest, the business kind of trapped me. You know, I woke up in the morning for about a year straight where I wasn't loving the work I was doing, where I was going, man, there's got to be a better business to grow out there, you know, something that really excites me at my core, or something that is fuel for what I'm passionate about, rather than you know, something that feels like it's trapping me. So we're going to be talking about how Sean went from his day job, something that likely kind of trapped him at that phase of his life, to what he's doing now. And it has nothing to do with real estate, which is one of the things I really love about the Carrot Cast, is talking with people who are all from, you know, from all kinds of different walks of life, different businesses, things like that. And one of the things I love the most about what Sean's done in his life and his business is his business really is catered around his lifestyle, his travel, things like that. So with that, I want to introduce Sean Ogle onto this episode of the Caracast. Welcome on the call, man.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So yours kind of set the stage for people. So you're in Portland, Oregon. That's where you live.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So not too far away from us. And what do you do for a living now? Let's start there, and then we're going to kind of roll back on how you got there and how we met and stuff.
So now the primary thing I do is I've got a course called Location Rebel. So it's a course in community where I teach people how to build small businesses that allow them to work from anywhere in the world.
And Sean's not BSing us with that, guys. When I first met Sean, it was, I don't remember when it was. It was probably 3 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And I don't remember exactly what you were doing at the time, but you were doing some really cool stuff, and you actually do travel a lot. Like literally, right before I hit record on this, you just got back from a big trip. Kind of run through where you just got back from with the listeners.
Yeah, so just about a week and a half ago, got back. I spent a month traveling, was in Colorado for a week, and then Scotland for 10 days, and then in Thailand for another week after that. So kind of full round-the-world trip.
I love it. I love it. And guys, the cool thing about this, and we're going to be on this call kind of unpacking how Sean has created his business so he can do that, how Sean has really been crazy intentional with his business and life so they are fuels for his passions rather than the making the business the end goal, okay? And let's reverse it back, man. So where did you come from? Where'd you grow up? What were you doing before you're doing now? And what were some of those struggles that you had, dude?
Totally. So I came from the most average upbringing imaginable. I was actually even closer to you. I grew up in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, white, middle class, like, you know, I always knew exactly what was going to happen next in my life. Like I knew when I graduated, I was going to go to Oregon State and study business. 6 months before I graduated, I was offered a job as a portfolio analyst for a small finance firm. So I always just kind of followed the easy steps. And I graduated and started my job in July of 2007. So we all know, you know, back then, like peak of the market, like honestly, like the day I started was probably the literal peak of the market. And by the middle of 2009, everything was falling apart. Everybody was miserable. I was miserable. And that's when I kind of knew that I needed to start being a little bit more intentional with the decisions I was making and the path that I was on in life. Mm-hmm.
So you went from that. So you woke up, like you said, you went, man, this isn't what I pictured when I was in high school, when I was in college, stuff like that. And kind of what was it for you that was the breaking point, or was there a breaking point?
No, so there were a few breaking points, but one of the big ones was in February of 2009, the stock market was down at like 6,500 points. Everything had collapsed. And I convinced my boss to let me take all the vacation time that I'd accrued and take a 2-week trip to Rio for Carnival with my best friend. And it took me months to convince him to let me do this. We were a small office. There's only 4 people in our office. And so I went down to Rio and, you know, we danced in the Carnival parade. We went hang gliding over Rio. We went to Iguazu Falls. I mean, we had the most unbelievable trip imaginable. Mm-hmm. And it was on the very last day. So my buddy and I were sitting there on the beach and we're like drinking out of coconuts and we're like looking out at the ocean and hot girls in bikinis. And we're like, man, we should be able to do this whenever we want. Yeah. And I knew that I was going back to a job I didn't like in the middle of winter in Oregon with a bunch of unhappy people in finance, you know, clients that were terrified that they were losing all their money. And so that was the turning point. That was when I was basically like, you know what? Like now I'm never going to have an easier time in my life to make a big move. I was 24, you know, everything collapsed. It's not like I'd been getting like promotion after promotion after promotion. In fact, the day I got back from that Brazil trip, I got a 20% pay cut. Where the boss was like, either we can give you a pay cut or we can fire you. And we don't want to do that. So what ended up happening was 3 weeks after that, my buddy Ryan that was on the trip with me, he quit his job. He moved to Hawaii for 8 months. And he's like, I'm going to hang out here, just kind of cruise, enjoy life. And then I'm going to start a world trip in January the following year.
Really?
And so that was the motivation for me where it's like, all right, time to make some moves and time to start making some changes. So that was kind of the big turning point for me.
So did you guys go on that world trip together, or was that something that you guys went solo?
Yeah. Things. So we ended up starting in the same place. So mm-hmm. it was right after that trip. That's when I started my first blog, started Location 180, and basically wrote up my bucket list. So all the things I wanted to hold myself accountable, you know, that I wanted to do in life that I hadn't done, and started slowly building up an audience. And a number of things happened, which led to me leaving my job in October of that year. And so I convinced Ryan to start his job, start his world trip in Thailand, where I had gotten this kind of internship. This guy that was a blog reader of mine saw that I'd left my job, and he's like, "Hey, dude, I want to bring an American guy out to Asia. I'll pay you $800 a month. You know, pay for your basic living expenses. Work for me part time. I'll teach you internet marketing, and the rest of the time, you can kind of grow your own thing." So Ryan came out, and those first 3 weeks, I hung out with him. I hung out with Dan. We went down to the islands and basically just kind of partied and drank. And mm-hmm. then he went on his way, and Dan's basically like, "You can either stay down here in the islands, you can come back to Manila with me, where he was based. You can go back to Bangkok. You can do whatever you want. We'll talk a couple times a week, and we'll go from there." So I ended up getting an apartment in Bangkok and spending most of my time up there.
So Dan, was that the Tropical MBA thing?
Tropical MBA, correct.
Okay. So were you the first dude that went through that? Were you like the maiden voyage for Dan with the
Tropical
MBA? I was
the very first guy. That's cool. He had like 5 episodes of his podcast. The Tropical MBA at that point was a landing page with a video of him in like a bungalow in the Philippines wearing a tank top and Crocs, basically being like, "Hey, who wants to come to Asia and work for this random dude?" And so at 1 a.m. at the Bangkok airport, I met this random guy from the internet, and it ended up being one of the best things I ever could have done.
That's cool, man. So you mentioned something I want to highlight here, because I think a lot of people might discount, and it's meant a lot for me in my life too. Is you mentioned a bucket list, and I call it a life list just because, dude, I tend to be like over the top on the positive side of things. I'm like, bucket list. I don't want to talk about me dying. Here, about me living.
I called mine that too, until I realized I was starting to get search traffic for bucket list.
Oh, I got
you. And now, like, now I get thousands of visitors every month for the term bucket list.
Dude, I love it. So what I want people to do listening to this is this right here is because I borrowed from you on your website. You inspired me and a lot of other people, I'm sure, to post our life lists or bucket lists in public. And yeah. If you guys go to my website, trevormock.com, it's my personal one. Now I have my life list or bucket list up there. And that's modeled after what you did. And dude, that's such a big deal, because as soon as you put that out to the world, we've talked about this before. As soon as you put it out to the world, then not only are you being real with yourself about the things you really want to do in life, but now people see that, and there's some magical things that can happen. So why did you decide to take your, I guess, first of all, when and why did you decide to make a bucket list or a life list? Mm-hmm. How did that even happen? And why did you put it online?
Yeah. So basically this was, I got back, it was like March 4th, I think, was the day that I got back from that Rio trip. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was I stumbled across a guy named Chris Guillebeau, who I know you know. Mm-hmm. He had a blog called The Art of Nonconformity. And it was basically, I went through and I read every single blog post he had written up to that point. I spent a whole afternoon doing it, and I was like, this guy's doing exactly what I want to do. He is living the life I want to live. And it just so happened he had just moved to Portland. And so I sent him an email and said, "Hey, Chris, is there any way I can buy you a cup of coffee?" And he agreed, and we got together, and he was the one that said, "Hey, like, you know, you're thinking about making all these changes. Start a blog to hold yourself accountable." And so he was the one that inspired me to start the blog. And so I started thinking, you know, about ways I could add accountability. And so I was just kind of like writing down notes of things that I was interested in and things I wanted to do. I had just crossed off some of those big bucket list items with like hang gliding over Rio, you know, dancing the carnival parade and whatnot. So I just kind of started writing it out. I was like, you know what? Like, if I don't tell someone this, and if I don't share this with someone, it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, 7+ years later, we've crossed off dozens of things. And, you know, the real motivation wasn't to start a business. It wasn't to help other people start business. It was just to basically get myself on a path that was going to make me happier in life.
And man, so I'm on your website right now. And guys and gals, I'm going to shamelessly tell you guys to go to Sean's website first of all. If you guys are resonating with the message of having a life and a lifestyle of freedom, where you can travel if you want to travel, where you can work where you want to work, where you can do the things you want to do, and really be intentional, like be intentional about the life you're living, the business you're building, you need to go to his website. So go to locationrebel.com, locationrebel.com. If you scroll to the bottom of that, there's a link that says bucket list on the bottom left. And I'm on that page right now. And like I said, when I first saw your bucket list, and there's several years back, I'm like, this is the coolest thing, because now I can go through here and read the things that Sean has done in his life and things he wants to do. And once I did that, because I have, let me really quick here. For those of you watching the video version of this podcast, you can see this. For those of you listening to the iTunes version, head over to our website at carrotcast.com, and you guys can watch the video part of this. But I first wrote out my first life list. This is the piece of paper.
Oh, that's amazing.
From 2000.
That's so cool.
2010. And I've still got it here. And I've had to rewrite over some of the things because they were in pencil. I had to put over a pen because they started to fade. But the magic of putting together a life list or bucket list for me was the second that you write it down, for some reason, it sounds completely hokey, sounds completely like hocus pocus kind of stuff, you know, but the second that you write it down, for some reason, the world does kind of conspire to help you get there. And I'm afraid of heights. I'm not a guy that likes heights, but I'm looking at this right here, and number 8 on here was skydive over a tropical ocean. I'm like, that'd be pretty cool to do sometime, right?
Totally.
Even though I hate heights. And it was kind of one of those things I was going, I wrote it down because it's kind of one of those cool things you got to put in your life list. And I didn't honestly think I would probably actually do it, or it wouldn't happen anytime soon. I wrote this down the end of 2010. I get an email about a month later from a buddy of mine. And you may or may not know him. I'm not sure. But his name is Doug Faith, a fellow entrepreneur, young guy, awesome guy. Knows a lot of really great entrepreneurs. And Doug emails and says, hey, there's this mastermind of some great people in Florida, and the guys wanted me to invite you. And so it's a small group of us, like 10 or 15 people. And I hadn't really been going to masterminds at that time. And I said, awesome, who's in it? And he's like, yeah, it's really great people, like Ryan Alice, the founder of Eye Contact, and this young guy. This young guy who's like 22 who just sold his company to Google for $80 million. The founder of Redbox, like I'm talking the dude who invented Redbox and sold it to McDonald's. Michael Simmons, who's a really, well-known young entrepreneur in the space. You can just, the list goes on and on. Just great, great people there. I'm like, first of all, I don't think I belong there, but if I'm getting the invite, I'm going to go.
Absolutely.
And so I'm like, tell me where to pay. And it was just one of those things where you pay to go. There was just pay for, it was $1,200. That includes your hotel and everything except for flight. I'm like, it's crazy. I'm even invited to this thing. Long story short, 2 weeks later, I get an email from him and Jason Duff, who headed up the mastermind. And Jason's a really successful young guy. He's going to be on an episode of the Carrot Cast here in about a month. But he goes, hey, so we're doing a fundraiser, and we're raising money for microfinance loans in Tanzania. And I said, awesome. He goes, do you want to be involved? And I said, yeah. He goes, we're doing a fundraiser. We're skydiving. He goes, do you want to do it? I'm like, my first gut reaction was, no, I don't.
Man, yeah, no, I'm good.
I don't want to do it. But then I remembered I'd wrote that down like a month or two before. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. So we skydive, do the whole thing. It was amazing. There were 20 something of us did it. We raised over $100,000 for charity.
Nice.
I get back and look at the pictures. And we did it at the Skydive Space Center that's outside of Orlando. You go way up. I mean, we went 18,000 feet. It's like really high for a skydive. Dude, the pictures that I saw the first time of me skydiving were all tropical ocean on the other side of it, me up in the air.
Oh, so cool.
And I'm looking at it going, what the heck? Like, I didn't plan any of that out. And I wrote it several months before, and it never would have happened unless I put the intention down on my life list. Have you had any of those kind of experiences yourself with yours?
The big one that I remember that sticks out the most is I wrote down, and the reason it stuck out so much is just because it seemed so impossible at the time. Like, there was no way I was ever actually going to do this. And that was, I wanted to go to Cuba before the embargo was lifted, and I wanted to smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
And so I ended up, you know, I'd written this down 2 years later, left my job, was working for myself. And me and a couple friends, we were going down to Cancun, and we started just kind of, or not Cancun, but Playa del Carmen. And we started joking. We're like, yeah, how cool would it be to like hop on a flight and go spend 3 days in Havana? And before you know it, it was actually my friend Clay, who you've done some work with.
Yeah.
He's hey, guys, I booked this flight, so hope you want to go.
Oh, no kidding.
And not knowing anything about what it's like in Havana, we just kind of showed up and ended up having the most unreal time. And there's this now like photograph that I've got vividly etched in my memory of the three of us in Hotel Ambos Mundos, which is where Hemingway wrote For Whom the Bell Tolls, smoking these Cuban cigars. And it was just kind of like, that was a big realization. It was like, man, I can actually cross off some of these things that seemed so unattainable when I was in my day job and was unhappy. And it was just kind of a big awakening for me that day.
That's sweet, man. So a couple more questions on the Lifeless site. So like I said, guys and gals, go to locationrebel.com, scroll to the bottom, find the bucket list link. And he goes through like how to write a bucket list. And so we're not going to talk about how to do that stuff because they can find it on your blog, right? 10 tips for creating a useful bucket list, why a bucket list is absolutely essential, how to create one. Okay, that's all in there, guys. But dude, what on your list right now are the ones that you're most excited about? It's like, man, you know, I'm excited about all of them, but these ones right here, man, I can't wait until those happen.
Oh, So as a golfer, I really want to play Augusta National. Yep. That's what I'm excited about. I actually had kind of like a extended bucket list item, which I'm now trying to become the youngest person to play the top 100 golf courses in the world. Mm-hmm. So that was that trip I talked about in Thailand and Scotland, knocked a bunch of those off. So I'm about a third of the way through. So that's one. And I actually just 2 weeks ago crossed off one of the things I was most excited for, which was, it was the 7-year anniversary of me leaving my job. And so to celebrate that, I booked a Singapore Air Suites class ticket. So you get your own room, your own bed, your own everything in the sky. So the retail price was over $10,000. And I used airline miles to book that. So that was a pretty exciting one for me.
That's sweet.
And then still just some of the travel stuff. You know, I've still never been to Australia. You know, I've got some things I'd like to do there. I'd like to go travel through Europe more. I've done Asia a lot. You know, sell a house for a profit. That's one that I'm, you know, we bought our house 2 years ago and it's already appreciated a considerable amount. So that's one I'm looking forward to crossing off the list. So there's quite a few in there.
So that's one right there that our audience can help you with, man, if you need help.
Absolutely.
They do it every single day. So I want to kind of dive back into the business and entrepreneur side, okay? And I know one thing that that a lot of us have struggles with is productivity, especially when let's say you don't have an office that is the office every day. You work out of your home or you're traveling a lot. Dude, I just looked it up and it looks like the most shared article you have is why circular urgency is killing your productivity and how to fix it. So you don't have to talk about that specifically, but that really interests me. Like I'm going, what is circular urgency? First of all, but how do you stay productive? And is that an issue? Is it a struggle that you have, or you nailed a system that's working for you really well?
Well, it's always a struggle. I mean, for people that work for yourself, I work from home. You know, I've got one part-time community manager and project manager that I work with, but you know, when you don't have a team of people that are kind of constantly pushing you and whatever, it can be difficult. And so there's little hacks that I've found that have just worked really well for me. So one of the biggest things is, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, I try and stop working at noon. So if I wake up, I can wake up as early as I want if I have a bunch of stuff to get done, but I do a hard cutoff at noon and then I go and I plan something fun at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, you know, usually I'll get up at 5:30 or 6 and so I can get a full, you know, 6 hours of work in, which should be plenty if you're, you know, kind of managing your time well. And knowing that if I don't get it done, I can't go do that fun thing that I planned ends up making me much more deliberate about my time and more productive in the process. So I was finding I could very easily sit in front of a computer for 12 hours trying to feel like I was productive, but only getting 3 hours of work done. So by setting that time limit, it's just kind of forced me to not only go out and do more fun things and enjoy life and take advantage of this flexible lifestyle I have, but it's also helping me get more work done in the process. So.
And that's so you've heard of Parkinson's law, because that's exactly what Parkinson's law is. And for those of you guys listening to this, Parkinson's law, I'm going to kind of probably butcher the exact wording, but it basically states that whatever it is that you have to do will take up the time that you allot for it. So like Sean's saying, if you allot 8 hours to do X amount of work or X work, it's probably going to take you all 8 hours, because that's just the way that our minds work. If you allot 6 hours for it, like Sean said, or 3, you'll find ways to get those important things done. And oftentimes the non-important crap is just going to slough off. It's just going to like, man, I only have 4 hours and I'm setting it to 4 hours. I've got to get this stuff done. The non-important stuff is just going to go away. And that's a big deal. So one thing I'll throw this at you is we're the Carrot team now is 10 people. So we're starting to grow and I really am wanting to challenge myself on Parkinson's law, on being more intentional with my own time and our team's time. And I'm looking at going, man, I really want a 6-hour work day. Because for me with the family, you know, if I get home at 5 o'clock, we're right into getting dinner going, hang out a little bit with the kids and my wife, and then get the kids to bed. And then my wife and I just have like maybe an hour to really hang out. And I'm looking at it going, that's not why I started a company. That's not why I became an entrepreneur. We're doing really good revenue wise and we have a great team. We're having so much fun, but I'm going, man, I would love to get home at 3 o'clock and just hang out with my family, my kids, and just go enjoy. And so we're looking at a 6-hour workday this next year. Have you found that you're actually more productive when you limit it to 6 hours, or about the same as what you would accomplish in 8 to 10?
I absolutely, for me personally, have found that I'm more productive. Mm-hmm. Like I, especially like if I'm working from home, I've kind of gotten to the point where I have to go out to coffee shops or other places just because there's too many distractions at home often. But I found that it's like, you know, here's your 6 hours, which is what it usually ends up being when I do that. And especially if I plan a round of golf at 1 o'clock, it's like, if I don't get that done, that's the thing that's like pushing me to like, you know, go forward, and I can do it without feeling guilty.
Yep.
I think that that's one of the biggest things you might struggle with when you start having that 6-hour workday is you'll hit 3 o'clock, and for years you've been trained, you've got to work until 5 o'clock or later. Mm-hmm. And it's being able to kind of switch that off and say, you know what, this is totally normal. So for me, I find I'll make my to-do list and I won't add anything to that to-do. I will do everything I can to not add anything to the to-do list. Mm-hmm. And usually that takes me about 6 hours. Sometimes it'll take me 4 hours and I'll plow through it and feel really good. And it's like, you know what? I got everything I wanted to get done today. I'm going to go do my thing, and I'm going to enjoy it and not feel guilty about taking that time to, you know, do the things that I enjoy in life.
Dude, so you open up a can of worms in a good way. So the word guilt, is really big. I think most entrepreneurs don't really realize that guilt is their issue. That was a big issue and still is kind of an issue of mine this past year or 2 years, especially with having a team where I'm going, okay, so if they're working away and I'm going and taking this time off, I would feel guilty for it. And a lot of it was expectation, was setting the expectation is, I learned the reason I felt guilty, like you were talking is because the expectation either wasn't clear or wasn't set at all. And, if I set it up front to where I'm still accomplishing all that I'm going to accomplish and I'm getting off at 3 o'clock, so I'm getting off at 3 o'clock, then I don't feel guilty anymore. Same thing. If I plan an extended travel, my wife and I and kids, we took a month off in July, which is the longest I'd ever taken off. It was a lifeless item. Actually, it was one that I didn't think was going to happen until I was probably like 40.
Yeah.
And then I sat there after my wife and I got back from Costa Rica last November, and it was an amazing 2 weeks, completely disconnected from technology because there was no technology. Couldn't even get an internet connection or cell phone reception where we were in certain parts of the country. And we came back. And I'm like, man, that was amazing. I recharged in a mental, you know, recharged mentally so well. Imagine what could happen if I took a month off. And I started to feel guilty. I can't take a month off. You know, I've got my family, or I've got my team and all of our customers and stuff. So that guilt really set in. And it wasn't until I sat back, just like you did on the Cuba trip or any of that other stuff. And you're like, well, why can't I do that right now? It's just being intentional. It's making it work, planning ahead. And as soon as we planned ahead and told the team, hey, I'm taking July off, here's why I'm taking it off, like 6 months in advance, dude, it happened. And it went without a hitch. Our company actually grew that month. And I'm looking back going, what the heck?
I mean, I need to do this more often.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I just still, for me, the one thing, I had a conversation with my old boss, and it was one of those moments where he got really candid and honest with me. And in 1983 and 84, he spent 2 years traveling around in a VW van, basically being a ski bum or a ski instructor in the Alps with his wife at the time. And he said between 1984, when he got back and started working as a financial advisor, and 2006, he had never taken more than 1 week off at a time from work. And he said the best 2 years of his life were those years in 1983 and 84. Mm. And he's telling me this as I'm like a 23-year-old, 24-year-old guy who's getting into this business. Like, they were going to train me. They wanted me to take over this business eventually. And I'm thinking about this. I was like, that sounds miserable.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I don't start making deliberate changes in my life, that very quickly is going to be me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was just one of those profound realizations that it's like, you have to be deliberate with what you want to do, and you have to actually, you know, set yourself up to be able to take those, you know, travel experiences and whatever. Otherwise it's just never going to happen.
So I'm kind of curious, man. So with family and friends of yours, I'm sure most of them don't have the lifestyle and structure their day and stuff like you do. Do you ever have any struggle, or does family or friends have struggle when, or once again, do you, when they're probably still living that traditional life, the traditional mindset, and they see you doing what you're doing. Is there any struggle, or are they like, man, I really want to make that happen, but for some reason they can't make the leap?
You know, it's really interesting. With my a lot of my closest friends, people that I went to college with or even high school with, they rarely ask me about any of the stuff I do. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, a big sale in my business, they know I do twice a year. Whether it's, you know, travel or the golf stuff, you know, oftentimes I'll sit there and I'll talk to them for an hour about, you know, whatever their job is, you know, in insurance or development or whatever. And very rarely will they ever ask what I'm doing. And at first I was kind of like offended. It's like, hey, I'm here talking about all the stuff that you're doing. You know, why don't you show more interest in what I am? And, you know, I don't know if part of it is just kind of jealousy and them saying, you know, I may not ever do this. And for some of them, they may not want to. It's just not something they're interested in. But, you know, I've learned that I was like, hey, everyone's got their own thing. And so I'm just not going to be upset by that. And I'm going to, you know, enjoy other aspects of our friendship. But it's been surprising that it is something that with a lot of people, it doesn't come up. And then other people that you're kind of acquaintances with or you've met throughout the years, they'll seek me out. And they'll be like, hey, Sean, remember, we're a friend of such and such's. We met this one time. I would love to talk and get your help and things like that. So you kind of get the full gamut. I get the people that, you know, come out of the woodwork to seek help and advice and all that kind of stuff. But the people that are closest to me often, they're just kind of like, you know what? We're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about other things instead.
Yeah. And it is an interesting dynamic with friends and family that way. Cause I remember when my wife and I lived in Portland and I was just trying to get stuff going. Yeah, mm-hmm. Business wise, I owned some rental properties at the time. Was just trying to kind of get a marketing company going, and I remember them always asking me because they came out of college and got good jobs right away. Right, mm-hmm. Some of them we went to Oregon Institute of Technology, which is not known for business, which is why I went there. But they all graduated from like the medical imaging program or engineering or computer science, and so they come out of college with, you know, salaries that are 50, 60, 70,000 a year, mm-hmm. and which is awesome. And I come out of college going, I'm not going to get a job for a year, and I'm going to move to Portland with my then wife, and she's still my wife. That sounded weird. My then wife. We got married right after college, so
yeah.
So she is still my wife, but no. Anyway, we got married and had no real big source of income, and I'm like, I'm just going to give it a try. And I remember during that year or two, so many of those people, which I still think are really good friends. They'd come up and say, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with your life and stuff? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out, though. I really don't know what I'm doing. I just know that I'm going to figure it out. I've got a plan. And that was kind of the running joke for that year or two is, oh, hey, Trevor, you've got a plan. What's your plan? You know, and I'm like, I don't know. My plan is not to do what you're doing, though. I wouldn't say that to them. But I just don't want a day job. And now it has completely shifted. And it's the one really cool thing that I really enjoy about what entrepreneurs can do, or it doesn't have to be an entrepreneur, just someone who steps out from that norm and they choose to do something different. They choose to make a bigger impact, or they choose to go out there and kind of go against those norms, like the art of nonconformity, you know, which is a great, great message from Chris. And then people start to come back to us, at least I've experienced this, and call me on the phone and say, hey, I know I don't enjoy what I'm doing now. I see you're doing something different. I don't even know really what you're doing, but I want to figure it out. And there's this one week, man, it just really hit me. And this is why it's so important for us entrepreneurs to be that beacon of positivity for people. Because I got a phone call from one of my friends, good friends from college. He's sitting there in his office at 9:30 at night. He's an engineer. And he gives me a call. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm just hating my work. I'm sitting here at 9:30. I've been here at 9:30 every single night the past two weeks. I've got my kids at home, my wife at home. He's like, I do not like my life as it is. He goes, what do I need to do to get out of it? And we had a really great conversation. Two or three days later, another friend calls me up. He's also an engineer. They didn't know that each other were calling me. I talked with them both afterwards. Same story. Man, I'm working late, slaving away. I don't feel like I've got any real purpose or mission in my life. I see you've got something going on. It seems like you're enjoying life more. What are you doing? And can you help me out of this? And it was really cool having that opportunity to at least speak some positive words into them and show them that they can do something different. One of them actually quit several months later and started their own company. And the other one's still in the work, and he worked his boss to adjust his work so it's better. But that thing right there, man, your blog is just a huge beacon of positivity and possibility for people reading it. It's a big deal.
Well, and one big thing I want to add to that is when I ended up leaving my job and moving to Thailand, I was dating a girl at the time, and it wasn't really a decision because it wasn't really a conversation. I wasn't happy in my life, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to help others do anything unless I was happy with what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at that as this is my opportunity. And so I basically said, hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to Thailand for an indefinite period of time to learn how to do this and to build this business. And so I think some of my friends, you know, they had a little animosity. They're like, hey, like, who are you to just up and leave? You left your girlfriend here, whatever. And my girlfriend's she's now my wife. It ended up being one of the best things
she
could have done for our
relationship.
Stuck with
you, man. Good.
But what ended up happening was I ended up basically becoming happier than I've ever been. I created this business where I'm helping other people get out of those same scenarios you just talked about. I've now helped thousands of people to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's because I took that leap and I made myself happy with what I was doing. And I think that you can probably, you know, relate to that a little bit. It's like, you know, because you're happy with your business and where things are going, it makes it a lot easier to be willing to have the energy to go out and help other people with their issues.
Dude, it's so much fun. I've heard people say this before, but when you can help inspire that one person to change their life, whether it is becoming an entrepreneur and leaving that job that they hate or whatever it is that's right for them, you literally are changing their family tree for generations. We have a monthly mastermind here in the loft, which is my co-workspace that I run here in Roseburg. Mm-hmm. And we all get together and we had it yesterday. And, one of the guys, he's just over his, 1 year anniversary as an entrepreneur, and he's in his mid early 40s, I think. And he'd been working jobs his whole life, you know, really awesome guy, but he hadn't taken the chance on himself. And he started to get around us over a year ago and seeing this different world. And he was telling us that he's like, I would walk in here and it would be like it was a whole different dimension to the world. It's like the way you guys think is completely different than the way that everyone else out there thinks. And I'm going, well, that's awesome. That's just the way that we are. Like, I didn't really realize that it was that different. He ended up quitting that job, started his own company. His wife is very risk averse, so she was really nervous about it. Goes from an $80,000 a year job to nothing. He's got to make his own money.
Yep.
Kids in college and high school, like all these reasons why not to do it. And he started it and he's got a successful company at one employee. You're going to hire another person. Dude, this is the coolest thing right here. So he hits me up a week or two ago. He comes up to me and says, he goes, I've got to tell you something. And he's very gracious. He always tells us here who have inspired him and helped him. He's like, you guys have changed our lives and I'm going to help you do as much as we can. So his wife, the risk averse lady, is in a job that she's enjoyed, but she's not fired up about it anymore. Mm-hmm. Dude, she would have never went off on her own to start anything new or do anything different ever. And because of this guy and the inspiration he has now passed on to her, she's venturing out on her own now.
Oh,
which is
amazing.
Crazy. So I'm looking at it going, yeah, man, that's why I do this. Like, I want to amplify leaders so they can go out there and make their bigger difference. It's so cool, man. And you're doing that to thousands and thousands of people. I want to shift the convo a little bit. So, there's an event that you're really involved with and, up in Portland called the World Domination Summit, which is with Chris, Goldblow, like you mentioned earlier. And one of the really cool things I love about the World Domination Summit is it really gets people out of their normal element. There's a lot of creative types there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who they have a dream. They may not be monetizing it well yet, or maybe they are. But they've got a dream where they just want to go do what they want to do. And they're going to figure out a way to make a business out of it and surround themselves with great people. How much has surrounding yourself with those types of people in your life, whether it's World Domination Summit or just your normal life, really impacted you versus the normal majority of people who are out there living their lives the opposite way?
You know, I think that one of the things that's been most beneficial for me has been surrounding myself with a lot of different groups of people. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got my close, you know, college friends. There's still some of my closest friends that aren't entrepreneurial and they're kind of doing their own thing. And that allows me to keep things in perspective and not think about business. When I first moved to Thailand, there was a group of about 24 of us, two dozen of us, that all worked out of the same co-working space. And we were all like basically trying to do the same thing, build these small lifestyle businesses so we could travel and, you know, basically just do the things that made us happier. And so being around them inspired me to continue, you know, pursuing that and not fall into the, you know, the backpackers lifestyle, like so many of the other people that are passing through Thailand, you know, were kind of living. And then I've got people that I did the World Domination Summit with, and they were trying to build this big community. You know, everyone that was involved kind of had businesses of their own, but they all got together to create this one, you know, giant collective community. And so, you know, all of these different lessons that I've learned from these different groups of people, I think have just had their impact on my personal life, on my business. And so often you hear people say, it's like, you have to surround your, like, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to surround yourself by nothing but entrepreneurs. And you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But I think that you need to get outside of that a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. you got to have those people that can motivate you for your business, but you also have to be around people that have the same hobbies as you, or, you know, have different perspectives of you, because that's what's going to allow you to, you know, just be a little more well-rounded. I think that's what makes me so relatable to a lot of the people that, you know, stumble upon my site and my brand.
Yep. Dude, I want to shift it for a few minutes on the business side of things now, because people are listening and they're probably going like, what the heck does Sean actually do, do for business? For sure. So on the business side, what's the first thing that you did when you went off on your own to start making revenue? And now how has your business changed since then?
Yeah. So basically, when I left my job, I ended up kind of unknowingly went through this three-step process. Mm-hmm. And this three-step process has become the basis of what I teach everybody in Location Rebel. So the first step is learning the relevant skills. No matter what you're going to do online, there are certain skills that are going to be extremely valuable for you to know. Basic search engine optimization, SEO, copywriting, the fundamentals of design, social media for business, how to build and manage a website with WordPress. You know, these are all really valuable things. And so I unknowingly did that through starting my blog. I started learning about all of those things. Then I took one of those skills that I excelled at in SEO and I freelanced it. And so that's when I started working for Dan out there on his website. That's when I started taking on other freelance clients. I was able to get to the point where I was making like $3,000 to $5,000 a month, which helped build my confidence up, and it helped, you know, make me realize that, okay, there's something to this. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the third step is, now that I've got that income, I've got that stability, I can start applying it to other projects. That's when I built my golf site. That's when I built the Location Rebel community and that product. That's when I started doing some other consulting stuff. So basically, it's that three-step process that I teach people in my course, Location Rebel. So people make a one-time payment. They're part of the community for life, and I help them. My goal is to get them to be making $3,000 to $5,000 a month within 6 months. So that's kind of what the whole course is all about.
I love it. And guys and gals, if you didn't hear that, locationrebel.com, you guys can check it out. I don't make any money from it. I just really want to help you guys go and live the better life. You know, if that type of lifestyle is what you're looking for, and you want to go out there and create a lifestyle business to start and see where it goes from there, Sean is the dude you need to be learning it from. So locationrebel.com. Dude, now I want to transition the last few questions, last few minutes here, into where are you going? You know, because we've kind of heard where you've been, where you're at now. It seems like you're in a really good spot. You know, you've got a great house in Portland. You're married. You've got some really cool stuff going on business-wise. You're doing the travels. Where are you wanting to go? I'm not talking physically. Maybe it is physically, but in your life over the next year, 2, 3, 4 years.
So there's two big things that over the next, you know, couple of years are my big focuses. You know, one, originally, I didn't do a very good job of explaining this. Originally, I had Location 180, which was the blog. That's where I had my bucket list and everything. And then a couple of years after that, I created Location Rebel, which was the community and the product. So last month, we merged the two of them. So Location 180 doesn't exist anymore. It's all under one brand, Location Rebel. So we're going to be working to build that out a little bit. Now that, after a year and a half of that being in the process, we can really focus on some of the marketing initiatives to reaching a broader number of people and creating resources for people that, you know, maybe they don't need the full $500 program. They just need, you know, small aspects of it. And mm-hmm. so making sure that we're catering to as many people as possible that are, you know, trying to essentially, you know, leave their job. They want to travel. They want to work from home, whatever it is. So kind of growing that business while still, you know, I'm not necessarily looking to bring on a dozen people and turn it into this big startup with multiple millions of dollars of revenue. It's like, it's still going to be a lifestyle business. Yep. I still want to be able to do the things that I want to do when I want to do them. And then the second thing is completely random and totally different, but I'm actually starting my own golf club. So I've met all of these people through my site. that are members of all of these amazing places, these very exclusive and private places across the country. And what I found is a small, you know, percentage of these club members, they're younger dudes. They want to, you know, show off their course. They want to play other places, and they just want to meet like-minded people, mm-hmm. You know, people like them. So basically I'm creating a club for these club members, so that whenever they're traveling, say, you know, we've got 500 members and you're going to New York, mm-hmm. You can be like, oh, we've got 30 members at 30 different clubs in New York. Let me get in touch so I can go play, you know, a club that I wouldn't have had access to playing otherwise, while also getting to meet another guy that I might have similar interests as.
Dude, that's awesome. Like, that is really cool. But so you saying that, I'm like, I want to be a part of that thing. That's sweet.
Yeah. So it's kind of my, like, you know, lifestyle business on steroids. Like, I'm not trying to make it a big thing. I'm looking to bring in, you know, probably around 500 people at $500 a year. And really just try and create a service that, allows people to meet other cool people.
And dude, so this right here, so you mentioned the numbers you're mentioning there, and I want to bring this up because it's really important to think of your life and your business as once again fueling your passion. It doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily have to be your passion. If it is, awesome, but fueling it. And a lot of people, I think, are really grinding away at, let's as an example, if you're a house wholesaler or something like that, you really do have a job there that you're creating. Then most people probably aren't passionate about wholesaling houses. So the reason I'm bringing this up is you can still use those same business skills to go out there and also create something that you really love to do. And so let me just whip out a calculator really quickly here. And I'm not putting you on the spot, but people can add up those numbers themselves in their heads. So it's not anything that you didn't say. So 500 times 500. So if you're able to reach that, that's $250,000 a year. And that's nothing to sneeze at. Right. And I think I really want people listening to this to realize that no matter what business you're in currently or what job you're in currently, there's so many darn things you can go to do to provide value to people. And that's all we're talking about here. There's value out there that you're creating that people see and go, oh my gosh, $500 a year. If you are a part of a club and you do a lot of traveling, it's probably a no-brainer to meet these amazing people and go golfing. And Sean, you will get rewarded handsomely for it, which is great. And that's capitalism. That's the way I think things should be. And kind of when you come up with these ideas, because I'm sure you're kind of like me where you have so many ideas that sometimes it's too much. How do you determine which ones you're going to actually push forward and which ones you're going to go, you know what, that's going to go in the idea bank for years down the road?
Well, and I've been thinking about this for a number of years. And I think you and I have, you know, we've talked about this over the years where it's like my location rental business has been in a really good spot for the last few years. It gives mm-hmm. me all the money I need to travel and do the things I want to do and not have to stress about it. And I've been trying to figure out what's next because there's no shortage of opportunities. You know, I know a lot of people and I've got a certain skill set now. So, you know, lots of things have come my way, but you know, the big question I kind of keep asking myself is, does this fit into the lifestyle that I want? And you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs and like specific, you know, startup guys that are like hustle, 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 like, you know, work 90 hours a week and whatever. And that's great, but I'm not necessarily looking to do that. You know, I've been able to have so many cool experiences and do, you know, so many of my hobbies and the things that I enjoy because of the style of business that I've built. So what I'm looking for in opportunities now are things that aren't necessarily going to take a whole lot of time, that fit into my interests and are going to provide value to a lot of other people. So I looked at this golf course idea and it's stuff that I'm already doing. Yeah. You know, I'm already networking with these people. I'm already going and playing these courses. So people are already kind of coming to me asking me for recommendations or introductions. So it's something that I can pretty easily add on. And if, you know, I get to that point where say in 2 years, I've reached that 500, you know, person number and, you know, for minimal extra work each month, I can add, you know, a fairly significant amount of revenue. And the thing to keep in mind with my lifestyle business is you look at a lot of startups, they're making, you know, $10, $20 million, or maybe not, maybe they're only making $1, $2, $3 million and they've got a dozen plus employees. It's like I've got one part-time, you know, project manager and myself. So, you know, I've got probably one of the most profitable businesses you can find. Yep. And I'm not necessarily looking to take on a ton of overhead or anything like that. So that's kind of how I look at it.
I love it, man. So I'm gonna lead to the conclusion of this podcast here in a second. But one thing I really want to point out, guys and gals, that you guys have probably noticed from listening to this podcast with Sean is the word intentional. He's crazy intentional about what he's building here. And I mentioned at the start of this podcast that a lot of us, we get into a business going, hey, I want to get away from where I am. I start a business, you get caught up in the revenue side of it. And what many of us don't do is we don't sit down before we started the business and go, okay, why am I starting it? Come up with your non-negotiables. You know, what are those things that you are absolutely not going to sacrifice with your life, with this business? I had five when I started Carrot, and come up with however many non-negotiables you guys have. And then also go, how much money do I actually really need to live the lifestyle that I want to live? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of us get, I'm guilty of this for sure. I'm way better with Carrot than I ever have been. And I still have a little ways to go though of going, okay, we're going to grow for growth's sake, but mm-hmm. not have the growth be actually attached to a very specific reason why you need to hit that number. And I can just tell from listening to you and knowing you over the years. And I remember we had an email conversation just within this last year where you were mentioning that it's like, man, I'm in a great spot with my business. I don't know if I want to grow it. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. It's like, that's such a good spot to get to, because that's where I think we all aspire to get to when we start our company. But then, so many of us kind of have that horizon complex where you have a goal, you reached it, you get over the horizon, then a new goal pops up. Yeah. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go out for that one now. And I think it takes a lot of discipline knowing why you started it, knowing when you get there, you're going to actually enjoy it and set it up so it's safe and protected for you, so that doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And have very specific reasons and ways that you're going to use that goal that you just reached, that revenue, you just reached that profit, whatever, to live the life you actually want to live, not just to go after, another number goal, which numbers never end. So if we're hitting our goals, looking at our goals, based on numbers, you're never going to be happy, because there's always a bigger number. Always.
Absolutely.
Always. Go for it, man.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, and that's basically where I've been at. I haven't had the big driving reason to want to pursue that growth. And mm-hmm. I was kind of like, you know what, until I've got that reason, I'm just going to keep my eye out for opportunities, try and meet cool people and help as many people as I can that are going through what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. it's not the popular thing to say. I mean, probably, you know, 95% of the people that are going to come on this podcast are going to talk about how to grow your business and why you need to grow your business and do all of this stuff. And that's great. You have to have growth. You can't be stagnant. You have to be moving forward in one way or another. But you can move forward and continue to grow without necessarily trying to grow your revenue numbers or your employees or whatever. So that's just something I think people need to be aware of.
Dude, I'll throw this one thing out here too, because I know with Carrot, we've gone through it where I did have that number up front before we started it. I'm like, okay, once we get here, it's kind of the if-then complex, right? If we get here, then we'll be set. Then we'll be happy. Then we can kind of stay there and we'll be good. And we kept on going over those goals and going past them. And I was at a phase about a year and a half ago where we were planning out, you know, our next year. And I'm going, man, we threw a number out there that we knew we could get there. And then we pulled back and we were talking like, so why do we want to get to that number?
Yeah.
Again, just because it's a number that's higher than where we're at now and we know we can get there. And so we had a serious conversation about it and we didn't really have a good answer at that time. It was just, well, I think we can get there and we might as well. When we started planning out 2016, so almost exactly a year ago, when we started planning out 2016, we asked the same question, but we asked another question on top of it. We said, okay, where do we want to get to? And then we did ask why, and we really drilled down on why. And I know for me, I have found a really good business model for myself on why we are continuing to want to grow. Cause and I'm not going to compare us to Elon Musk, right? But Elon Musk would not have been happy if he would have reached $1 million a month in his business. Because for him, he needs a lot of money to build rocket ships and he needs a lot of money to start the company that he started to make the impact in the world he makes. So go out there and sell PayPal and sell the other company. And now he's got $800 million. He had to have that money to make the impact in the world he wants to make. Now, I don't need that kind of money, but what I do need is we do need in the millions to make the impact we want to make. And that's really cool because now it fires our team up. We're going, man, as we build the business, it gives us a bigger platform to spread our message out there. It gives us more people to touch and amplify. And also the more revenue we bring in, the more that we can impact rural America for startups, the more we can impact Roseburg. We can buy buildings, we can renovate them, we can hire more people, we can invest in businesses. And that's why we're so excited about growth at this phase. But I know we're going to hit another phase where we're probably going to have to ask the question again, why do we want to grow? And it's such an important question to ask. So I'm glad we kind of got into that conversation, man. And And who knows, one day you might find this new thing. It's like, you know what, dude, this thing I'm so passionate about. And if I have an extra $1 million in the bank, it's going to make this massive dent in the world.
Oh, and, for sure. I'm already at the point with Location Rebel where it's been a couple of years of trying to figure it out. And I've started answering that question of why would I want to grow? Why do I want to grow? And being able to, a lot of it is impact. It's like, I've seen the impact I've been able to have on, you know, the group of people I've helped already. Well, it's like, well, what if I could help, you know, twice as many people? Mm-hmm. And then seeing how it's filtered down through all of the people that they help. It's like, that's what's got me motivated to be like, all right, like we're at a time where what I'm teaching works, and I know it works, and we've got those, you know, case studies to prove it. But 5-10 years from now, the stuff that I've been, you know, teaching people to do right now, maybe that's not going to work. Yeah. So I'm at a time where now it's like, all right, we need to capitalize on what I've built, because we are in a unique situation where everything's working, and so the time to grow is now, as opposed to maybe 5 years from now. So That's one thing that's really been driving me a lot over the last 6 months or so.
I love it, man. One of our core values is constant, never ending incremental improvement. What are you reading right now, or who are you following?
Oh, good question. So I'm actually reading Elon Musk's book right now, or the book about him, cool. which has been fascinating, just because I didn't know so much of the early backstory with many of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, also, you know, guy that I'm following and reading is Mark Manson. Not sure if you're familiar with him, but he just published a book. It's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And it's done remarkably well. And basically it's, you know, personal development for people that hate personal development. Hmm. And he tells it like it is. And his book is just, you know, taken off. But his blog, it's markmanson.net or markmanson.com, is, you know, really kind of takes those, you know, same concepts and, you know, doesn't sugarcoat it. And so that's one of the things I've appreciated about following him.
I like it, man. Well, I know you have a meeting here in a bit. And dude, I really appreciate your time with me. And dude, like I said, I want to have more Sean time, dude. I know you're traveling all the time and we're a few hours away, but I want to make it a point in this next year to have us get out on the golf course and get around, and you'll kick my ass, but
hey, it'll be fun. I just like hanging out and taking a scenic walk with cool people. So
I love it. Well, dude, is there any parting words before we jet that you can, impart on people who may be in that situation where, let's say, they've started a company and they're not enjoying it like they intended to when they started out, or they're working a job and they know they're not living the life they want to live?
Yeah, the thing I kind of keep coming back to is, if you were to take a leap or if you were to take a risk, you know, what's the absolute worst case scenario? Mm-hmm. And then the chances are, when you really think about it, the worst case scenario is not that bad. And then the chances of that worst case scenario coming to pass, probably pretty small. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it like that, like for me leaving my job, which was terrifying and took months to work up the nerve to do, you know, worst case scenario, I go travel for a while, I come back, I get another job. Not that big of a deal. What are the chances that job ends up me being, you know, flipping burgers at McDonald's? Probably pretty slim. So when you kind of, you know, think about things in that way, it makes it a little bit easier to take some of those steps that can be pretty scary.
Awesome, awesome spot to end. Guys and gals, go to locationrebel.com, check it out. Check out Sean's course, check out his bucket list. And I would highly, highly suggest all of you guys create your own life list, create your own bucket list, whatever the heck you want to call it, this next week, and start somewhere. Even if it starts with 5 things, write down 5 things and challenge yourself using Sean's teachings to go out there and complete a full bucket list. And also, the last thing I'm going to finish with, guys, is take a chance in yourself, because we only have one life here on this earth. And there's no reason not to take the chance on yourself and take a chance on your dreams. And there's a big world out there to travel and experience. And for those of us who like traveling, go do it right now before it becomes too late. So thanks, Sean, for hopping on this call with us. And really appreciate your time, dude. Hopefully we can connect in person soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. So I've got a question for you. After you dove into that episode of the Carrot Cast with Sean, how many of you actually have a life list or bucket list written? Even if it's one item or 10 items or 106 items or whatever mine is. How many of you guys have taken the time to really think about what you want to accomplish, do, see, be, learn in your life? And that's a real question, because if we're not asking ourselves those questions or writing those things down, what is the likelihood that we're ever going to actually reach that we're ever actually going to live and experience those things in our lives that we want to? The answer is very, very slim. Okay, so if you got nothing out of this episode of the Carrot Cast, what I want you to do is right now grab a blank piece of paper and separate it into a few categories. Okay, write education or learning, write travel, write experiences you want to have, people you want to meet, places you want to go, things you want to do, things you want to achieve. Okay, write those as headlines or section headings on that piece of paper. And then carve out 30 minutes or hour, 2 hours, however much you want to do to really dream about your life ahead. And sit there and write those things in those categories that you want to do in your life. And don't think that anything's too small. Okay, it doesn't have to be all big stuff. If you fill it with just big stuff, it gets really, really demoralizing if it's all big stuff, because it all looks very daunting. Pick some really simple stuff that you can even accomplish this week. Just set out to do it. Okay. And I can promise you, once you do that, and once you post that darn life list somewhere public where you see it, where maybe your spouse sees it or your coworkers, don't be shy about sharing it with people. Okay. Because the second that you share it with people is the second that you yourself make it real to the world. All right. And I can tell you from experience, when I did that, it was just amazing stuff. Things started to happen in a big way. Okay. So go and create your life list or bucket list. Post it so others can see it and really get real about being intentional with your life. Now, what I want you to do next is think about what Sean and I talked about in this episode of the Carrot Cast. And are you structuring your business in a way to where it truly is fueling your passion, fueling your life? Now, your business does not have to be your passion. Okay, that's one misnomer that I had for years and years and years. I love golf. I love mountain biking. I love certain things. I'm going, man, how do I create a business in mountain biking? That's not the case. What we should be looking at is, how do we create businesses, or how do we work in jobs if you don't want to start a business, that fuels the things that we love? So how do you make it so the time that you work in your business enables you to then go out there and do the things that you want to do? You're not working 8, 10, 12 hours a day because you can't do your passions then. Okay, how do you make it so the revenue you're earning in that business fuels that passion? How do you make it so the team members you're attracting fuel that passion? Okay, your business should never sacrifice your passion. It should be a fuel for it. So use this, guys and gals. Put some thinking into your life and your business and see if you're being as intentional as you should be with your business. Last, if you have not listened to other episodes of the Carrot Cast, head over to carrotcast.com, and I'm going to throw a free resource at you here. Okay. If you're looking at doing what we do here at Carrot, where you want to dominate and control the conversation online in your market, the sellers, the buyers, the tenants, the whatever type of prospects you're looking for, they're going online to search in Google right now today. Are you the ones getting in front of them online? If not, your competitors are. So what we've done is we put together a free guide for you on content marketing. And that guide is going to walk you through some basic things you can do to start this week a content marketing strategy. Okay, it's got a little outline for you. It's got a video that goes with it, and it's 100% free. Take that, implement it this week, and get a massive jump start on your competition and controlling that online conversation. All you have to do is whip out your cell phone and text the word carrot, C-A-R-R-O-T, text the word carrot to 38470. Okay, text the word carrot to 38470. And what we're going to do is we're going to send you a text message that says, hey, give us your email address, and we will send you that resource to that email address. Okay, text the word carrot to 38470. We're going to send you that free guide on content marketing so you can go control the conversation in your market. All right. Well, guys and gals, go out there and live a life and create a business with intentionality. I think that's the key word for today. Get crazy intentional. If you're not intentional, the world is going to take you by storm and do what it wants to do with you. Okay. You control your world and make that happen today. Go out there, guys and gals, live a life of passion, purpose, and we'll talk to you next time.